Father, you are indeed worthy of our praise. We give you thanks for all you've done, and we worship you for who you are. And we pray that you would reveal more and more of yourself to us. This year, we'd understand you more and know you better. Would you fill us with an amazement at your character and your love? And we ask this, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. How marvelous to see you, and thank you for coming when there's a possibility there might be a monsoon, as there was. Well, I felt almost a monsoon as I was under it in my little umbrella this morning, and it's great to see you, and thank you very much. Always very encouraging when you come back after Christmas, though, you know, one could so easily forget the church over Christmas, so it's a great relief you haven't. And thank you, Chris and Tim. Tom, I knew there was a name that I knew terribly well, but I know you so well, I don't know why I always get it wrong. And it's so marvellous when you do those marvellous bits. Well, it's marvellous when you... Anyway, I better stop now. There's one notice, and that's a week on Monday. A week on Monday, there is a prayer supper over at St. Margaret's. We pray from 4:45 to 6:30, so it's massively intense. And some people leave then and dash for their trains, but there's supper for those who want to stay. So if you think, actually, I'll just stay and have something to eat, that's great. And that goes on, well, until you go, really, and until the washing up's finished. But you don't do the washing up. Of course, I do that, and Cliff, and... Chris, who of course is getting married at the end of the month, so is excused almost anything until married life begins. It's great to see you. May I read to you a few verses from the Bible? I hope that I'll get back on track. I think my colleagues are saying. I'd love to look at Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3 on page 207. Probably not what's up there. I just felt a change in the middle of that worship. Joshua 3 on page 207. And beginning at verse 2. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way you're to go, since you've never been this way before, but keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead with them. I was just thinking this extraordinary moment as they come out of Egypt and were on their way to the Promised Land and just facing the River Jordan ahead of them and wondering what God was going to do, had the Egyptian armies behind them. And God, first of all, through Joshua, encouraged them to face the facts of the situation. You've not passed this way before, he said. This is completely new. And you're either filled with fear or filled with anticipation. Face the facts, Joshua said. This is a completely new opportunity for you to see the graciousness of God. And I felt at the start of the year, at the start of 2016, we could either be filled with fear or filled with anticipation about what God is going to do in us and among us. But God calls us, first of all, to face the facts. We haven't been here before. There's no route map for this. He's going to do a completely new thing because it's a completely new year. And our response is either to be filled with anticipation or filled with fear. How do you and I look forward to the next 12 months? Are we clear that this is a new way, a new opportunity to experience the wonder and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Face the facts, he says, first of all. Sort yourself out, he then says. And as the years go by, I think I'm less and less sorted out at all. So the thought of sorting myself out fills me with a mixture of impossibility and horror. But he's quite clear there in verse 5, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. If we're going to experience all God wants us to experience, we need to be working with him in sorting ourselves out. Every year I sense the Lord trying to begin to work out on another of my problems, hassles, weaknesses, or sins. Each year he's been doing it for the last 40-odd years. There is still, seems to me, almost as much to sort out as there was all those years ago. And we continue either to live with all the things that need sorting, or we take God's invitation seriously. We're never going to be totally sorted till heaven. That's going to be the most exciting thing about seeing each other in heaven, because then you'll be able to look at me and think, that's how you were supposed to be all those years when you were stuck in terrible sin. Do you know? That's how you were supposed to be. But every year, God wants to do a little more in your life and mine. Sort yourself out, he says. Work with me in making yourself more like Jesus. Face the facts, he says, first of all. Sort yourself out. And then, he says, keep steady under pressure. And we see that over the page in verse 13. There they were. And Joshua says, as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, the waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. It's a wonderful promise, but actually, they must have had quite a gulp, because as we know, as we see in verse 15, it says, now the Jordan is in flood all through the harvest. Great that you think this is going to work out, Joshua, but I hope you've heard God correctly, because there's absolutely no sign that this is going to happen. No sign yet of a miracle, no sign that God's going to sort something out. The place is in flood. How can you think that as soon as the feet of the priests touch the Jordan, it's all going to change? And yet then we see, don't we? Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing, piled up in a heap. And so the people crossed over opposite Jericho. There is so much to experience when we take God at his word. The difficulty is, I don't know whether it's the same for you, it certainly is the same for me, I can see the immediate reality often more clearly than God, who's beyond it. And we're called to begin to see things with the eyes of faith, just to trust him that at the right moment, things will be sorted out. Face the facts, he says. We either go into 2016 full of fear or full of anticipation. Sort yourself out, he says. What is it, Lord, that you want to work with me in sorting out this year? And then keep steady. Just trust him. Just keep on going. And at the right moment, he will honour his promise. And you think, ooh, that's all very well. That's all very well, but how can we do it? And of course, the Ark of God, the sign of the presence of God, was with them all the time. We have something so much better. We have the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit in us, all the time, encouraging us, reassuring us, and saying, and you trust him?